Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
All right. The weekend is here and this is it for McDonald's. We are Triple M Footy.
And we are here with you for the final Saturday of the season. Yes, it is grand final eve, less than 24 or just over 24 hours before those teams run out. Onto ANZ Stadium, what may well be a life-changing moment for one or both sides. The Roosters taking on the Raiders. Lovely to have your company this Saturday afternoon. Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdle, Tony Squires. Dell can't be with us. He's a bit crook. The Rhino.
Yeah.
The Rhino couldn't make
He's worn out probably from all of his media work during the week. He's been very busy getting interviews left, right and centre because he's a superstar.
This is, for those who don't know, the masked singer. We spoke about it last week. Perhaps you're not here because he outright lied to us last week, to our faces, saying it wasn't him.
He's a little dishonest, wasn't he?
Yeah.
What sort of flu does a rhino get?
I'm not sure. Okay. Not bird flu. Can we have a little, just a listen? I think this is the second the song. This is the follow-up single that was on TV. Just have a little listen to the rhino. Let me talk to him. Uh-huh. Wow. There he is, the Rhino. He had all the moves.
It was the moves, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was a giveaway. It was certainly what he produced on the dance floor as opposed to the vocal. But good on the big man. Did really well. I think he got through to like the third or fourth round and was a great sport and put on a great show.
Did you see his dance moves, Em?
I did see the dance moves. So I think last week when you played the audio, so I had only seen on social media the moves. I hadn't actually heard the audio. No. But then when I heard, what was the original song?
I think we played better that.
Shotgun. There's a mountain top
that I'm dreaming of. George Ezra. If you need me, you know where I'll be. See, that's what peeves me. We played that last week. And he said, that's not me.
I know. But they get in trouble, obviously, if they give it away. You could tell from his reaction that it was him, even though he was denying it, just the way he'd his eye contact and look down and the little awkward giggle.
And earmuffs, kids. It's the Santa Claus lie, Tony. It's the lie that you have to tell.
This Santa Claus.
I said earmuffs.
That was plenty of time for the parents to put the earmuffs on.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, Del, we'll miss you, but enjoy your little break. I'm sure we'll catch up with Wendell tomorrow and talk.
You know the lie, Tony.
I know the lie.
Sometimes you've just got to tell the lie.
I'm not going into the lie. I tell you what the lie is at the moment. I'm quite cross about it. I just noticed I was at the grand final lunch yesterday in the city. Ricky Stewart was there. Lots of the grand final combatants. And what really worried me was I saw on the big screen the Roosters logo, the emblem that sits proudly on the chest.
It does.
It's the first time I've noticed because
it's changed
size
over the years.
It has changed.
It's evolved.
Well, now the Roosters crop, which is the little thing that, you know, goes on top of the head.
Yeah, yeah. The headdress.
Yes, is the Sydney Opera House.
Oh, that's a great idea.
No.
What a great initiative by the Roosters.
How do the Roosters have ownership of the Sydney Opera House?
Well, the Opera House is
it belongs to all of the
teams. Eastern suburbs of Sydney.
It's not in the how's it in the eastern suburbs?
Well, it's close to the eastern suburbs.
No, we're near the eastern suburbs.
What do you want to take the Opera House off the Roosters for? What other club would you give it to?
The Dragons can have the Opera House. The Bulldogs can have. What about Manly?
The Dragons can have Tom Ugly's Bridge. Yeah, and they can have sea cliffs down there in
the West Illawarra. Tigers. They get the Anzac Bridge.
They get the Anzac Bridge. Penrith don't need a bridge. They get an Nepean bridge. Everyone's got a bridge.
The Sydney Harbour Bridge and the Opera House are the international icons. They represent Australia. They don't represent the Sydney Roosters. Oh. You can't just go and go putting them on your jersey that's us.
It's subtle, Tony. Only you would have picked that up.
I hadn't noticed.
If you have a look.
It's real.
Have a look there,
I wouldn't be talking about this if it wasn't real.
It's got the sails there. It's very catchy.
It is very catchy.
They do everything well, the Roosters, Tone, and that just annoys you.
Will they play well tomorrow evening? Will they go back-to-back? This time out from the grand final, your memories, what were you nervous 24 hours out?
The thing I remember most about the day before the grand final was back in 2003, and this year, obviously, the AFL grand final was the week before.
Yep.
But I remember sitting in my lounge room, before I had to go out to sort of Penrith to do our captain's run, Or it might have been after. We might have trained in the morning. That part's not too clear. But I remember Vossie, the great leader of the Brisbane Lions, who I think had won a couple of premierships in a row, was standing on the dais later on this afternoon lifting the trophy. And I remember sitting in my lounge room going, tomorrow, that is going to be me. And fortunately enough, it was.
And were you that confident? Did you know that you were going to win?
No, I was really confident in that we could win. But you never know with the ground. I was really relaxed, actually, the day before the game. And our preparations were fantastic. So I gave ourselves every chance, but I don't think you can ever say that you knew.
Raiders coach Ricky Stewart looked pretty relaxed yesterday. Next, Emma, I know you've been out and about with the Raiders and their fans. We'll deep dive right there.
Deep
next.
Dive. Yeah. Even without Wendell, we're deep diving.
Well, he's very shallow. We can go much deeper without him. Saturday Triple M NRL.
Grand final drought is over. 25 years
in the making, but they are in the big one. ANZ Stadium tomorrow evening. The Raiders are there. Emma Lawrence, you've been hanging out a bit with them this week. What's it been like?
It's been awesome. The atmosphere down there in Canberra was so good. Such a good vibes. They had their open training session on Tuesday and the gates opened at 10 o'clock or something. And even from about an hour before, there was a line 100 metres long and it ended up going for a couple of hundred metres. They had the big horn there. They did the Viking clap a couple of times, had the drums out and everything. So, yeah, it was really good atmosphere. They got to watch training. And we got really, really good access from the Raiders. We were, you know, you always get your set period. You're allowed to film 15 or 20 minutes, but you're still allowed to hang around and then grab some of the players for interviews afterwards. And even after the allocated hour, even the players that were in high demand, like Josh Papali, they still stuck around for another half an hour until every journalist that wanted to speak to Josh Papali got what they wanted. So, yeah, thanks to the Canberra Raiders, great access and really good vibe down there.
And I actually think that takes a little bit more pressure off. And it makes a little bit less of the moment, you know. I mean, there's enough build-up around the grand final, you know, when you've got coaches and meeting managers saying, okay, that's enough and come in here. They can actually build a little bit of anxiety amongst the group. And I think the fact that we saw it with Freddie over the last couple of years with Origin, you know, he just opens the gates and then takes all the anxiety out of those situations and allows the players to feel comfortable as often as possible, which is so, I think, so much better for their preparation.
And Ricky Stewart was saying yesterday he wanted the players to enjoy the week. You know, you've made it. Obviously, you don't want to play your grand final before and all that kind of stuff. But enjoy it. Embrace what you deserve, what you've won so far. Ricky's attitude I'll get to in a moment. What about John Bateman, who's been one of the big stories, hasn't he, of the week? I noticed that his family and his best mate have made their way over here.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to be able to have a chat with them yesterday. So his nan Patricia is over, his brother Kyle and one of his best mates, Liam. So he'll have a cheer squad of three on Sunday. Probably the smallest cheer squad you'd imagine. All the other players would have 10 plus people there, but really special. His nan never misses a game. She always watches when she's back over there, even if she has to get up at 5 a.m. He's played in 4 grand finals in the Super League. She's been to all of them. So really special to have them there. His young daughter, Millie, she couldn't come over because of school. So his mum and his daughter are still back home. So, and his grandfather's quite ill, so can't travel. So he said his grandfather always tries to give him advice on the game and he just doesn't listen, says he's got no idea absolutely at all. But it was really, really nice to sit down with them. And, yeah, they're obviously very supportive family and got such a great story. Australia has really fallen in love with the Englishmen down there in Canberra and they've done such a great job for the Raiders.
Yeah, they've been amazing. I think his brother, the flight was about 42 hours for some reason to get here. He was going to the Dally M's on Wednesday evening, wasn't he?
So when they arrived, he wasn't there for the red carpet, hadn't arrived just yet, but then eventually got there straight from the airport. But unfortunately, then John left a little bit early because he was there to be able to claim his award, but then
had a bit of man flu too, didn't he?
He did. So he was in quarantine yesterday. The day before. When they trained, so he said just a bit of a sore throat and a headache, nothing too much, but he has recovered, was there at Captain's Run this morning, and even another example of opening everything up. Usually we don't get for grand finals vision of Captain's Run, but for the Raiders, they did open it up a bit, and Andrew McFadden, one of their assistants, spoke as well, so Yeah, it just Ricky has said it all week. He wants them to soak it up, and you can really feel like the players are soaking it up.
We talk about being relaxed, Gerds, though there is the atmosphere, I think might have been in Martin Place at the fan zone when the two teams, and they had, of course, the trophy. Now, the two coaches, Ricky Stewart and Trent Robinson, he was a bit frosty. Ricky decided he wasn't even going to make eye contact with Trent Robinson. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, there was obviously that little spat earlier on the year about, you know, stealing the ball and how Trent wasn't really for it. And Ricky's obviously got a side there that execute it really well. So, yeah, I don't mind a little bit of that before grand final. I mean, you don't want to be buddy-buddy. I mean, you know, a handshake and that, I think, is enough for moments like that, and I think the teams as well. You know, most of the time, you know, teams are pretty tight. They've you know other players from other clubs, but grand final week, it's just a little bit. It's like an Origin. It's a little bit different. You know, you keep to your own. You don't want to give anything away. And I think it all makes for theatre, and it's going to make for a fantastic contest.
He doesn't like the one-on-one strip, does he, Trent?
No, he doesn't.
Reserved only for the bedroom, he says. But, you know,
is that right?
It was great, though, at that media conference, because I just thought, how awkward that Trent Robinson's getting asked about this and Ricky's sitting right next to him and Josh Hodgson is a couple of players along and he's laughing about how he mastered it and Trent's saying, I stand by what I said. So,
That's great.
I wonder if he'll back down a bit given he's sitting right next to the Raiders, but no, he didn't at all. You wouldn't expect Robert to back down.
No. And any insight into Ricky Stewart, the man, while you were down there?
Well, yes, I actually managed to speak to his father, Les, which was great. He was at the fan day. He was watching them train, so I had a bit of a chat to him. He said, Ricky, he's always been emotional and passionate, but he said he's not quite the same. Ricky had a few tears when we spoke to him on the sideline for Triple M after the prelim final. Was a bit teary, but Les said, no, he didn't cry, but he had a couple of beers and he doesn't drink. So that was his way to sort of let all of his emotions out. And he said he always tries to ask Ricky about footy and tell him what he's doing, but he says, I'm not telling you anything because you're going to go and tell other people. And then even when I asked Ricky about this, he said, you know what's funny? Sometimes I'll say, yeah, I'm going to play this player, you know, in the halves. And Les, the father, will say, yeah, good idea, I was going to say that. And Ricky says, no, I'm just kidding, I'm actually not doing that. And then he says, see, you don't really know everything, do you, Dad? So it seems like they've got such a great relationship. So, yeah, it was really nice to, even things like that, for his father to be happy to have a quick chat.
Great. Well, they would be sentimental favourites when they run onto ANZ Stadium tomorrow night. Can they get the job done on the field? Goods? I might investigate and a little look in your brain, see what you think they have to do to win the big one on Saturday, Triple M NRL. Big audio dynamite as Triple M rocks the footy, and it is time for this.
The deep dive.
Bring the snorkel, Tony.
We're going deep. We are going so deep. Ryan Girdler, why don't we start with this deep dive with the Raiders? We'll get to the Roosters and their chances tomorrow in the big one. The Raiders, what have they got to do? This is a team obviously doesn't have the grand final experience. Only Joey Leilua has played in the grand final. That was for the Roosters back in 2010. That loss to St. George Illawarra. How key is that or not at all?
Well, look, I think... yeah, I think they're all important. You know, they're all important parts of the build-up, and they earned the right to sort of fall onto the easy side of the draw. I think that's the, you know, when you're sort of building a tilt for a premiership, you need things to go your way. You know, obviously the bounce of the ball, decisions on the field, injuries, and you know, they earned the right there to fall into that side of the draw. And they, even though they had a tough game last week against the Rabbits, I mean, they've got a full roster to choose from this week. And it also forced the Roosters, the side that they're playing tomorrow, to play Melbourne last week, which we don't know how much damage that's done emotionally and physically to the Roosters getting up for that one, then getting up again for this one. But look, I think first and foremost, they need to believe that they can win, Tony. I think that's the big thing. You go into a game and I really get the feeling that they do.
Yep.
But there's certain parts of the game last week I don't think they would have been entirely happy with. I thought they played a little bit nervous last week. It was a big crowd, and that was almost the biggest hurdle they had to overcome. Like, they go in almost with a free throw at the stumps this week, don't they? I mean, no one wants to lose a grand final, but, you know, you've won at home in front of the biggest crowd, and you've got yourself into the event. So now you just need to relax, go out there and hopefully things are going to go your way, and I don't think there's any reason why it can't. But I think some of the things that they need to improve on last week, the back end of their sets, their kicking game was poor, and I think Aiden Souza, there's a lot of pressure on Jack Whiten as it is. I mean, he's obviously a key figure in their attack down that left-hand side, and he's a guy that can sort of generate points, and he's a guy that can kick when you're coming out of trouble and you need an extra body there. He's got a good boot on him, but I don't think he needs to carry the weight of, you know, finishing off their sets in the good ball zones, and I think that's something that Aiden Souza needs to work on. He didn't get it right last week, and they need to build some pressure and get some repeat sets against a side like the Roosters, try and fatigue their defence a little bit because their systems are so good. So I think that's one area he can be a little bit better. And also on the back of opportunities, I thought last week they created a few quick play the balls, they made some breaks, but they didn't convert. And you're only going to get a limited opportunity against the Roosters. And if you don't get the ball to where it needs to go on the back of those opportunities, well, they shut them down and you lose the football game. So I think, you know, in relation to that part of their game, Aiden Souza really needs this. It's a big job for him tomorrow, and I think he really needs to step up. And I really think they need to attack the Roosters through the middle third of the field as well. We know Papali's in great form and Soliola. Tarpane needs to come in and probably do a little bit more work on the ball because they need to release Josh Hodgson.
Yeah,
he's their most creative player. And if he doesn't get any room around that ruck area, their attack becomes very predictable. And then they're just going to rely on the offloads. And everyone's talking about their unconventional style. Offloads and second phase play is all great, but they just need the work to be done by their number nine just to create those opportunities out wide. And their forwards need to win the battle if he's going to get some time and space.
What about Tarpany? Do you expect him to put on another couple of big hits? He floored Sam Burgess at one stage and had another couple of really big ones, but coming up against, you know, someone like Jared Warrior Hargreaves, he'd be... I mean, Papali's a leader of their pack, but someone like Tarpany as well, he can put a few big shots on.
Yeah, he's very physical, isn't he? And he likes to play, he likes that part of the game. Can be a little bit hot-headed as well. And, look, I'm still not sure whether or not he's not a back rower. He's sort of better at running wider than playing in the middle because sometimes he hasn't got the work rate of some of the other forwards. He only does, I don't know, 8 or 9 hit-ups a game, where sometimes in the middle you need guys doing 15 or 16 hit-ups like your Murrays and your Trebojeviches. So he plays a little bit of a different style, but he's big and he's physical and he likes the contact, and I think that's what the Raiders need to do. They need to put it fairly on the Roosters' pack, especially from the start.
Yeah, and Josh Papali, who was absolutely magnificent last week, as you know, and has been the back end of this season, hasn't he? It's been a breakout for him. For him to go back-to-back with that strength and size and performance and with Jared Warrior-Hargreaves opposite him, it's going to be enormous.
Great battle. But, I mean, I think Josh, he's just in that sort of form at the moment where he's going to turn up and he's going to do his thing. He's probably going to play big minutes again. And I think for him, the next step this year he's taken, obviously, is being, and this is what I think, you know, James Tedesco and all the really good players in our competition, the next level they go to is when they get in these situations and they excel. And he did that at Origin this year. I thought he's one of Queensland's best. And he's done it in the final series so far, Josh Papali. And this is another opportunity for him to really go to another level in a grand final and tick all the boxes.
They have to. The start will be important. I mean, the Roosters, they're fast out of the blocks, aren't they? They usually score first. They're usually leading at halftime. And once that happens, a team struggle to get over them because of that defence. So that opening 20 is crucial, isn't it?
I think it is in a grand final anyway, because there's a lot of nerves and that around. And given the fact that there is a lot of expectation and extra pressure on the Roosters, I think that's an opportunity for the Raiders to come out of the blocks and sit them back. You know, if they can score first and then try and make the Roosters chase points, I haven't seen the Roosters flustered too many times this year. They can win in any situation. I mean, last time these two guys played, I think it was like around 21 or around 20. And the Raiders had like 58% possession. They had all the football and the Roosters just defended their way to victory and scored off a couple of kicks. So they haven't been able to break the defence of the Raiders down, which I think they'll take a fair bit of confidence out of. But you're right. The Raiders certainly need to start fast.
Do you think that the Roosters are a side that if they are down... I know you said they don't get flustered a lot, but they're not down a lot, are they? Because, Tony, you mentioned they have good starts. So are they the side? You know, Cooper Cronk is, very safe, very calm. But do you think he's the type that if they're down by 2 tries, for example, that they've got enough to enough brilliance or enough sort of flashiness in them to come back, or is that when you think they get flustered?
I think Cooper's a guy that, you know, will definitely keep them in the contest in those situations. If they go down by one or two tries, he's the guy that's going to keep kicking into the right parts of the field and then get them all in their shapes and do that. Luke Keary is the guy that's going to hit the button for him, and he's the guy that can chase points. So I just think between those two players, it's the perfect balance.
Yeah.
And that's why they can win in any situation.
The one-on-one strip, there's a code word. We've talked about it before. Apparently, the Raiders have used lightning. I think they might have used money. I mean, how do you get confused by that? If you're the person with the ball and suddenly Josh Hodgson yells out lightning,
yeah,
wouldn't you be suspicious? I mean, why would he be yelling out lightning?
I think there's just not enough time. Apparently, you know, if someone yelled out money, maybe you drop the ball and look for the cash.
Exactly.
It's a split second. But they all have – when I was doing sideline one time, I heard the Bulldogs yelling theirs out as well. And then it was Penrith had – yelled it out, and then Nick Meaney came over to the bench and said, "This is what the word is. This is what the word is." But the thing is, they might have a backup too, so maybe they change it. If you change it, or whether you hear it, you don't have enough time to react, do you?
And some of the strips they've been doing of late have basically been one on one, where you know Hodgson's got in there first, or Bateman's got in there first, and just, you know, in a one-on-one situation, just been able to wrestle the ball away without the help. And I like those one-on-one strips.
Yeah.
It's the ones that you're talking about, like where there's three guys and they drop off that I'm not a fan of.
It can be testing, obviously. I think the Dragons had one where everybody just had to be any word that started with the letter F. But the trouble, that was fine until somebody got too smart and yelled out, "Philistine!" Nobody knew whether that strip or not. Craig Wing joins us next Sunday, Triple M NRL. Rocking the footy on Triple M. Emma Lawrence, Ryan Gerler, Tony Squires with you. What a great pleasure to welcome to the show a man, of course, who has won a grand final, Mr. Craig Wing. G'day, mate.
G'day, gents. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you. What's your grand final day shaping up like? Where will you be?
I'm heading out there for the game. I wouldn't miss it for the world, but I've got a couple of corporate gigs that I've got to do through the day, and then lucky enough to score some good tickets to watch it front and centre.
Wingy, there's a... There's obviously a little bit of concern over who's going to wear the number 9 for your beloved Chooks tomorrow. What do you think's happening over there with Sammy Verrills and Jake Friend?
Look, I think whoever gets picked will do the job. But if Friendy is fit, I know that he hasn't played much footy this year, but the level of experience and the calm head, been there, done that he brings to the team as a whole, particularly when times get tough, is invaluable.
Do you think they should carry young Verrills on the bench now that obviously Hargreaves is back?
Look, he's been it's a really, really tough one, and I'd hate to be Robbo in this situation because he's done such a good job, and he was integral to them being there in the first place. You know, but I think that's been one of the strengths of the Roosters all year is that they've used so many different players throughout the course of the year, and they've all gotten the job done, which says to me that the systems that they have in place back at the Roosters is not too dissimilar to what the Storm have been doing over the last 10 or 15 years, and that everyone knows their role, everyone knows what's required of them, they know the non-negotiables, and then they can build from there.
So is it safe to say whether you're tipping with your head or your heart, either way, you're tipping a Roosters win tomorrow?
Absolutely. I mean, look, I think a lot of teams find it hard to match it in the physicality department with the Raiders, and that's what they're going to bring to the game. They're going to be super, super physical, and I think for the Raiders, the longer they can hang in there, the better they'll be. But for my mind, I think the Roosters can match them in that department, even if they're a little bit behind. The game breakers that they have in their team, the skill and the execution, and the way that they make you ask questions of yourself in defence time and time again, I think that's what's going to get the Roosters over the line.
You won a premiership 2002 with the Roosters, but of course Ricky Stewart was the coach at that time. I spoke to Glenn Lazarus during the week. He described him as the most competitive human he'd ever met. What was your take on him when you were there?
That's probably an understatement. He is super, super competitive and takes everything very, very personally, but he lives and breathes the emotions that the players feel on the field. He goes through all of that himself. I think he might have a little bit of an advantage there because he was part of our premiership campaigns when we were in those grand finals 4 times and we lost 3 of them. So he knows what it's like to lose a grand final, even though it was a while ago, and hopefully he's thought of some things in and around that as to why we lost before, and hopefully he can, well, not too hopefully, but I'm sure he'll be trying to work on the Canberra team in that regard as well.
Well, you spoke about those four grand finals, Wingy. Obviously, those there was three consecutive ones there. You got the 2002 title. You didn't get it in 2003. You couldn't go back-to-back. Why can this group go back-to-back?
Do you know what? I think it's more a case of, look, they see themselves as a completely new team. They've walked a different path this year. And I think one of the bonuses is that throughout the course of the year, they had some key injuries and they blooded a whole lot of players that have really had no experience in, not too much experience in big games in footy or in first grade. And they've really done the job, and they brought the enthusiasm and the attitude and the new blood throughout the year. And then come the back end of the year, they finally got a really fully fit and strong team, and you know, they can certainly take it to another level.
I think one of the good parts about this time of year, everyone reflects on grand finals in the past and they put all of the old games on. Your favourite, no doubt, is when you got to lift the trophy, but is there another grand final moment just as a fan that you look back and you really appreciate just as a rugby league fan in general?
Another grand final moment. Actually, I remember just the ones that really stick out to me are the ones that Ricky Stewart used to play in for the Canberra Raiders, funny enough. He was one of my favourite players growing up. So, you know, I always followed his career. As for myself, I've watched the 2002, but to be perfectly honest, since I've lost those other ones, I've never watched them since. So caught a few minutes here and there when they pop up on Foxtel, but and it's a strange one. And you'll talk to a lot of other guys that have lost grand finals. They don't really sit there and go over it because there's not really much you can get out of it.
So you would purposely, if it's on in the lounge room on the television, would you switch it off because you can't bring yourself to watch it?
No, not really. I just won't go out of my way to watch it. it's a real strange one. Like all other games, I'll happily sit there and watch. But, you know, it just brings back those horrible memories of 80 minutes that have just slipped through your fingers. And I remember those two that we lost. It was, you know, you're out there and the game's going well, and all of a sudden it's going against you. And then before you know it, the game's over and you're sitting in the change room thinking, where did that go? Can I go back out on the field and do that again? And it's the worst. It's the worst feeling you could possibly have in rugby league.
So that overshadows the win of 2002.
No, absolutely not.
Wouldn't you be thinking about 2002 all the time, wouldn't you?
No, 2002 is all I think about in the weeks, the weeks that followed that, or the off season that followed that. It was all time.
But Craig, I can absolutely understand that. And I've been watching this week. There was the guys who were involved in the 1989 grand final, which was absolutely heartbreaking for the Tigers, and those guys, legends who never won a premiership. So there was Ciro sitting there, blocking. Sitting there, and Benny Elias, and then in another room there was Mal Meninga, Ricky, and Steve Jackson watching that. And you could just see the pain etched on the faces of those Tigers boys as that second half unfolded and that game slipped away from them. So I absolutely understand the difficulty of watching something that you've lost like that means so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing that a lot of people tend to discount is that to get there, to get to the final dance, it's 11 months of hard work. There's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of sacrifice, but there's also a certain element of luck, particularly when it comes to injuries and things like that. Sometimes you can be the better team all year and you don't make it there at the back end, but there is a certain element of luck, and then it's just a case of everyone has to be on their game on the day, because regardless of your track record coming into the game, everyone's going to be putting their best foot forward. Everyone's going to be full of energy, full of adrenaline. They know that there is no second chance, and this is what it comes down to. And you know, if you get 13 guys in the same mindset, and it's a little bit more than the other team, regardless of how well they performed that previous year, then they could very well get done. And that's the beauty of the big game.
If you do see a weakness with the Roosters, or an area, let's say, that the Raiders could exploit, where would it be?
Look, I think they're gonna try and come hard and fast through the middle. But I do expect them sending a lot of traffic down Cooper Cronk's channel. He's a big key to the Roosters. Obviously, Luke Keary is very, very dominant and can pretty much run the team on his own. But I think the Raiders are going to have a crack down Cooper Cronk's channel. It's a hard one to get. He is a good defender in his own right. and he is very good at calling his players around him to sort of cover him a little bit.
But he managed to hide for 80 minutes last year, mate.
Yeah, I know, really? I know. But if they can put some of the bigger boys on him one-on-one, I think they got a bit of a chance. And I dare say they'll probably be trying to come down the Kiri's channel as well. But across the rest of the park, I think they're going to be hard to go over.
All right, Craig Wing, lovely to talk to you. Enjoy yourself tomorrow. Good luck for the Roosters.
See you, Wing. Enjoy the game. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
There he is, Craig Wing, joining us with some terrific insights. Plenty more to come on Saturday, Triple M, NRL. Some Black Keys for you as Triple M rocks the footy on a Saturday afternoon. You'd think that in grand final week, front and centre of any player's mind is what's going on the football field, getting through to that grand final. And I'm not saying that's not what is on in front and centre in John Bateman's mind, but there has been a story that's got out that his contract, which I think through to 2021 at the Raiders, wants to spice it up a little bit. Maybe he's worth more than what he was assigned when he signed that contract. It's a distraction at best, isn't it?
For him or for... I don't think it's a distraction for the team because they're not talking about it in-house and they're not being asked about it either. It was only John that got asked about it. So he gets asked the question and the issue is he's answered it. So he's either been poorly advised by his manager to say, yes, I am thinking about this, or what could very well be the case, which I know definitely goes on with a number of players, they get the manager starts shopping them around without them even knowing. So that's how journalists get word that, okay, maybe he's interested in leaving the Raiders, when in fact he's not, but that's why they start asking the questions and then you get a couple of quotes and all of a sudden becomes a story, but the manager is the one that's shopping him around. But I think John Bateman is focused on the weekend. He was just asked a question about it because journalists got a sniff that he was being shopped around. So I don't think it is a distraction for him.
There's no doubt that, I mean, every player wants to get as much money as they can from their contract. And if they believe halfway through their contract, the problem is that at the moment, there seems to be no trust that a contract is what a contract is. And that's what we all kind of grew up with. And that is changing dramatically. In fact, Todd Greenberg was asked that very question on the Rush Hour on Triple M last night. Here's what he had to say.
I get a sense that this is the one thing now that's starting to really frustrate fans. We're going to have to make some changes. And I think we need to tighten the system up so that it's a little bit easier to understand from fans' point of view of how players move and how contracts change. The other thing we need to do is we need to keep pushing on the regulation of our player agents. You know, it's really important. There are a lot of player agents that do a lot of good for the game, but there's some inherent conflicts between coaches and players, so we've got to make sure we get into that, and we are doing that right now.
That seems to be the big one, Tony, where you've got, you know, player managers that handle the coaches at certain clubs and also handle the players that then get moved around and, you know, seem to be, you know, shopped to certain clubs and held back from other clubs, given the fact that, you know, the managers have relationships with coaches, which then obviously, you know, gives the coach a little bit more, whether it's credibility or pulling power, whatever it may be. So there certainly seems to be a conflict of interest there. It does work both ways, Tony, but I will say this. Clubs sign players under the intention that they're going to play well. Mm-hmm. So if your player comes and you've got him on a three-year deal and you're an administrator at the club and he's playing well, that is why you signed him. So unless the manager at that point, like with an instance like John Bateman, they mightn't have thought that he was going to have the impact in the NRL that he's had. Well, then if you know, if you're a good manager and you know how much potential this guy's got, well, then you need to make sure, you know, in the second and third year, there's ratchet clauses. So, and I mean, they're really hard to manage with salary caps and such, you know. But there's certain things around, you know, playing finals or whatever it may be. It's hard. Most clubs have it with state of origin representative duties. It's hard with guys like Bateman. But, you know, I'm thinking that when John Bateman came over here, you know, the manager should have had in his clause, well, year one, it's a certain amount. If he ticks these boxes or he hits these KPIs, whatever it is, year two can be this. If that's not the case, that's not the club's problem. That's the player and the manager's problem. On the other side, though, Tony, is obviously, you know, clubs who want to then get rid of players that aren't performing to the value that they've signed them on for. So it's a messy situation. And as Todd said, it needs to be looked at.
It's messy because it always happens when a club will say, oh, well, for example, Josh Reynolds on $800,000, oh, well, we haven't got the value out of him, let's try and get rid of him. So clubs are constantly trying to offload players who aren't playing up to their value, but yet you rarely see them say, well, you've done such a great job for us, we're going to give you more money. It doesn't really work both ways,
no.
does it?
No, it doesn't work both ways at all. That's what good administration is, though, being able to identify talent, get them to your club, pay them potentially under what they're worth and get the value out of them so that you can, you know, bring some other big names in and stay underneath the salary cap. I would say this to players, though. Back in the day, it used to be about, okay, look, my manager's handling this and that was their job and you didn't really have to think about it too much. With these days, the scrutiny that the game and the players are under individually, I would say to players, that's not the case anymore. Be aware of what your manager is up to. Make sure, you know, when your manager comes to you with certain situations, just think of the ramifications and the timing of that and shut it down. You see, you know, some of the players that, you know, are really onto those sort of certain parts of their game or their business, their player managers don't come out and you know, use the media or use other clubs to trade them off. You know, they're solid in the way they go about their business. And I think that reflects on the player as well. So I would be, you know, advised if you're a player these days, just to pay a little bit more attention to what's going on around you and don't just leave it up to your player manager.
Yep. John Bateman has been good for Canberra, but Canberra's also been good for John Bateman. And the whole one team town thing has been great. I saw an ad. He was a car yard there in Canberra. It was actually subtitled.
Because yes, they needed subtitles. Apparently, he told his he told his brother not to show anyone back home. But once it got out back home, apparently he's been absolutely copping it from all the family and friends back home.
He can be a little bit hard to understand. Yeah, he's fantastic.
He's a good man. I can't wait to see him run around tomorrow evening. Saturday, Triple M NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.